Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
And this is going to be a short podcast because absolutely nothing happened within the week since we last recorded this.
I know.
Absolutely nothing. Everyone was an angel. No one said anything stupid.
I think that happened the day after we recorded. Because it happened between recording and
us posting it.
Yeah. It just when stuff happened, like, it doesn't happen too often just because of our schedule.
Right.
Every now and then something will happen in that time frame.
Because we usually cover WWE stuff, and by Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
Raw's happened, Tough Enough's happened, so all the week's controversy or whatever has already happened.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case this past week.
Mm-mm.
Because Hulk Hogan decided that he was going to be a racist prick 8 years ago.
It has not been 8 years. It has been 8 years since that happened.
That's what everybody, like, even in his own apology, he said 8 years ago I said something stupid or something like that.
I can't believe the sex tape happened 8 years ago.
Well, I don't think it was, like, found or posted or anything until 3 years ago.
Okay.
That's when Gawker got their hands on it.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. I don't know. I'm not in the trial, so I don't know. Then again, apparently, it doesn't matter if you're in the trial or not. You can still find out everything that's talked about and everything that's submitted into evidence.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I don't want to be on Gawker's side on this. I really don't. It's an invasion of privacy. But at the same time, I don't want to be on – I definitely don't want to be on Hogan's side.
Not now.
Not now, no.
Here's the thing.
But yeah, we all laughed at this case like weeks ago when, you know, it was – when it was reported that the judge ordered Hulk Hogan to wear only plain black bandanas on his head.
Yeah, that was
like,
goofy.
And then I was like, oh, okay, all shucks.
And, like, he wasn't allowed to go by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he had to go by Terry Bollea, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot of giggle. What a
right.
silly thing this is going
on. Yeah, and now we have the moment that destroyed his public persona.
Here's the thing. It's like, because this happened, and, like, honestly, the first reaction was like, man, we got to cover this. Like, I'm just, like, I do this to talk about goofy guys.
Right. And okay,
punching
okay,
each other
okay.
for fun.
It's Wednesday, so it's almost been a full week since this happened. So if you're listening to this and you're a wrestling fan, you've heard everything by
yeah.
now. We're not breaking news that Terry Bollea slash Hulk Hogan referred to African Americans with a very explicit, horrible, racist term.
Yes.
Okay? And used it as if it was a freaking comma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all you need to know right there.
Yeah.
He's apologized. It's not really going to do a whole lot right now.
No.
I mean, sure, it was recorded 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But, and not saying that he's using that as a defense, but it's kind of indefensible. Like, it kind of doesn't matter.
Not really. I mean, not really. Like,
which is funny because 10, 15 years ago, WWE was doing stuff that was just as bad.
Yeah.
If not worse.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is like, you know, like, think back to 8 years ago, and I was like, I've said dumb things 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
But I was also like,
you're also not Hulk Hogan and don't have people, like, interested in what you have to
yeah.
say as he, well, as he says
like,
that into a microphone.
Like, I was a teenager 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Teenagers are morons.
Absolutely.
I didn't say anything on film.
No.
And it's still, I wasn't as mad as what happened.
Absolutely.
Like,
you're absolutely correct. And I'm right there in the same boat with you. I was a teenage idiot.
Yeah.
But I wasn't this much of an idiot.
That's all teenagers are, like.
But then again, how old was Hogan 8 years ago?
Fully grown adult.
Fully grown adult. And should have, oh, I don't know, known better?
Yeah.
Knowing, but then again, I guess he just didn't know he was have being recorded nailing a friend's wife.
Yeah, P.S. that happened.
Right. And apparently there's also a third DVD that just hasn't come to light yet.
And
people are alluding that it might be worse.
I don't wanna.
I don't either. Okay? And in a perfect world, we never would have found out about this.
Well, in a perfect world,
in
it
a perfect
would have
world.
Happened. Like,
in a perfect world, we wouldn't live in a society that produces
yeah,
people
like,
that
we're
has some
rainbows here. Let's
absolutely. But in a perfect world, these things that were submitted into court would have stayed within the court, at least until the court case is finished.
No.
But that's not the case.
So we're actually going to, rather than, because this is basically what the entirety of the mail sack is.
Right.
And rather than, like, talk about it all and then get to the mail sack and say, oh, we've already answered all the questions in jibber jabber.
If we did the mail sack jingle right now, would that be in poor taste? Because it's kind of light and happy. This isn't a light and happy subject.
Can we get, like, a slow, mournful, an unplugged acoustic version of the mail sack theme song?
One of us is going to have to message Jonah to do that, and it's not going to be me, because he's already making one thing for me, and I don't want to overload him.
All right. Okay, so here, how about this? How about this?
Okay.
If when you say it, it triggers the music, so I will say it today.
All right, okay.
So, unfortunately, it is, in fact, time for the mail sack.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Sad mail sack will be a long, drawn-out Okay. All right, really, we're going to stick with something that Jay sent us on Facebook, and he said he has a theory on this. With Hulk dealing with his case against Gawker about the sex tape, the audio came out, right? Well, who would have more damning video evidence of Hulk's misdeeds than the company that holds the majority of his career footage from the last 40 years? And maybe that WWE's denying any involvement with Hogan to stymie any kind of subpoena or FIA request, and thus keep the case about what Gawker did and not what Hulk or any other wrestler in WWE has done. What do we think? Has the WWE progressed so far as saying something racist is equivalent to a double murder-suicide, and is there something else going on? I think WWE's move was strictly from a PR standpoint.
Here's...
Honestly, and I do have something to say about, because a lot of people are equating that with Chris Benoit.
Honestly, here's what Hogan did wrong, because there is a lot of like, hey, let's, you know, Hogan was removed from the Hall of Fame. Let's list all the other pretty terrible people that are in the Hall of Fame, you know.
Well, see, here's the thing, like, there's only one precedent for something like this happening, you know, from somebody being scrubbed from WWE's history completely overnight. Yeah. Granted, I believe Hulk Hogan is still on their championship timeline because that's going to be kind of impossible and just dumb to do.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit, as accomplished a wrestler as he was a lot easier to scrub from WWE's particular history.
He was. He didn't headline, what, 9 WrestleManias?
Precisely. See, here's the thing. I can't speak for WWE, but here's how I saw it. They're not equating a double murder-suicide with saying racist comments. What their point they're making is they have a certain line. If you cross it, this is what's going to happen. It doesn't matter if you cross that line by an inch or by a million miles.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan crossed it, but not nearly as much as Chris Benoit crossed it. Chris Benoit crossed it by an infinity number of miles.
Yeah.
Okay?
But crossing is cross, I guess.
Exactly. That's how I thought about
Honestly,
it.
Honestly, how I see it is... So, Hogan said some terrible things. There's lots of people who have said terrible things.
Absolutely.
You know, Vince included, I'm sure.
On WWE programming.
Yeah.
Yes.
That are still there. Mm. So, I think it was... how much stock did, like, the WWE stock drop?
I believe... I don't know exactly what the numbers are now, but they basically within the first 24 hours of all this happening, they dropped, I want to say, 3-4%. Which costs shareholders roughly around $50 million.
That's what Hogan did wrong.
Exactly.
Hogan made WWE lose 3-4%
right.
of their
this
shares.
This is after WWE just removed any references on the website to him, removed his profiles, all that stuff. And now imagine...
So it's
and see, WWE did this before the audio or whatever became public knowledge.
Right, but... It's hard to say WWE overreacted when this one man's action lost the company that much money
right.
in that short
amount. A guy who's officially listed as a company ambassador.
Yeah.
This is what is called a bad ambassador and someone who should be removed from their position as he was. Now, like I'm saying, like imagine what the damage was would have been if they just did nothing. You know?
Yeah.
You would have a bigger market drop-off.
Yeah. I think, like...
Not saying also the public, you know...
I mean, part of the thing is, like, if you go to the network right now, there's not a fuzzy blur main eventing 9 WrestleManias.
No. Now, I do know, I don't know this with Hulk Hogan, but I know with, like, a lot of Chris Benoit matches, they won't have, like, a stop point where you can, like, skip ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've done that with Hulk Hogan yet. I do know they took down the cartoon.
They did take down Rock and Wrestling.
Which I kind of assumed would happen.
Yeah.
Anything with his actual name on it would probably get taken down. I don't know. I know that there's, like, one documentary that I checked, like, late last week that was still up.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to do anything about those. It makes sense they probably would.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, you know what? They're not pretending he never existed.
Right. Because that would be intellectually dishonest.
Yeah. I think I don't have a problem with them saying they're no longer going to profit off of his image.
Right.
And they're no longer going to promote his association with the WWE.
There you go.
I mean, it's a huge jump from denying an association to, you know, just no longer promoting.
No further pursuing any sort of promotion with him.
And you know what?
Which makes sense. It's just like, you know, if a company or whatever had an employee that crossed their personal line, their company lines.
Yeah.
And they fired them. They're not saying that that person was never part of their company, but that person from that point on is not part of their company.
And it's just a case of bigger they are, the harder they fall.
You're right.
Where, like, Hogan was the most associated with WWE out of anybody ever.
Right.
So there's these other people, you know, like, Trump has said some offensive things recently and is in the WWE Hall of Fame, but nobody is going onto Trump's Twitter and being like, ah, that WWE Trump guy is being terrible.
Well, I mean, I've gone on Twitter and pointed out that he needs to be taken off, especially if they're going to take, because I feel like things Trump has said are very close as far as offensive.
Oh, they totally, are. But it's not affecting the WWE's bottom line.
Sure.
Because
it should be, but it's not.
Because here's the thing. Nobody really knows that.
Right. Trump is not the face of WWE's company.
I mean, you go to, you know, some pretty big Trump supporters and you're like, you mean Trump, the WWE Hall of Fame Trump?
And they're gonna look at you like you're dumb.
Yeah, and they're gonna, you know, it's not real, right?
It's always the second. It's always the second thing that someone says.
So, I mean, that's what it is. And there's other people in the Hall of Fame. They're just not as big as Hogan, so they don't make as many ripples.
Right.
So, I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, WWE has done business with a lot of people in their history. What, 50-some years?
Yeah.
It's a lot of wrestlers. That's a lot of, you know, content producers. That's a lot of writers. It's a lot of everybody. They're not all... You're going to have some bad eggs in there.
Yeah.
You know? And you have these guys who are portraying these larger-than-life characters who live the gimmick, so they're going to say and do horrible things because that's just, that's part of the culture back then, so it was just,
these things
are going to come out.
I think to make any sort of indication that the scrubbing of Hogan is anything more than a PR move, or just like a Now, but like, how many, like, let's say they stayed with it, like, how many Hogan bandanas do you think they're going to sell over the next 6 months? Like, it's just a bad business decision to keep making those, because they'll just sit in a warehouse. Nobody wants those all of a sudden.
Yeah. It would be a very awful business decision to have any association from this point forward.
Yeah.
It would also be horrible and... I don't know what the exact words are, but if WWE was like you said, if they would just deny that they ever had any, you know, relationship with Hulk Hogan in the past, would be just, like, intellectually dishonest.
It'd be more effort than it's worth, honestly.
Exactly. And it's one of those things also where it comes to the point where, like, you have to take responsibility for the people that you do business with.
Because here's the thing.
Let alone wrestling. Honestly, like,
with, like, Chris Benoit, I was out of wrestling for... Pretty much all of Chris Benoit's career.
Right.
And so, like, came back in, didn't know about it. Nobody ever mentioned it on TV.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't until you're looking on boards and people are talking about, like, the wrestler who must not be named jokes. I'm like, who are they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And having to actually go and look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And
so basically,
but I can't do that with Hogan. Like,
right.
It's an unscrubbable association, and it's just that I think WWE handled it. I would not expect them to handle it any other way.
Right.
But it doesn't behoove them to call attention to, like, we also have these racists.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big just don't rock the boat kind of thing.
And if, you know, if they took out every single Hall of Famer that did something, at least one horrible thing in their career or whatever that came to light, you'd end up with a pretty bare...
You'd have Drew Carey and Mick Foley playing shuffleboard.
Right. I mean, even Shawn Michaels, you know, he had a pretty bad past.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's the only other person I was like, well, Shawn Michaels would stay in there. Oh, wait, part two of Shawn Michaels would be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Part one, you probably should get taken out. You know? So, I don't know. And I don't, you know, and of course there's the, you know, people making accusations of WWE being hypocritical, you know, for doing all this stuff in response to something that Hogan did or said when WWE has, on their own program, one form or another, done something equally bad, if not worse, or in that vicinity. It's where we are at now. That's what matters right now. Sure, they're kind of profiting off of their stuff they've done in the past off their network.
Yeah, but again, I don't think it benefits WWE to point out all of their errors
exactly.
of the past.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, to because that's the thing is like you know about it and I know about it and everybody who's really into it knows about it, but this Hogan thing is everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And so you don't want the following report. After, you know, WWE star Hogan stripped from everything is WWE just, you know, suddenly realizes that they have 20 people that have done pretty terrible things.
Right.
That's not what you want your...
That turns your Hall of Fame into a dumpster fire, essentially.
It does, and it takes, you know, you want your, you know, WWE initials as far away from the story as possible.
Right, and from here on out, it should, I don't think they will, but it should make you kind of further reevaluate exactly, and be more selective on exactly who you put in that Hall of Fame. They're not going to. I have heard rumors that they were going to put, since they're in Dallas, I heard rumor that they were going to do Fabulous Freebirds this year.
Yeah.
But now they've backed off of it because of their close association with Confederate flag, because... God forbid Michael P.S. Hayes ever came to the ring without wearing a sparkly Confederate flag.
You know what? It's the Hall of Fame's a whole nother thing. They put, like, what, 6 people in the Hall of Fame a year?
Something like that.
6-7 people in the Hall of Fame a year.
And to be – and just throwing this out there, WWE has not publicly said if Hulk Hogan is out of the Hall of Fame.
He's just not on their page
right,
anymore.
Right, and from like, a lot of inside, you know, people, they're saying that they're debating that. They're, you know, they're thinking about it.
I think that's like a kind of one final card that they can play.
Right.
Where, like, if it... Because that's the thing. If I'm WWE, I want this to quietly go away.
Yeah.
And
I feel like if they...
And that's the thing. Like,
if they just leave it be now, I think they'd be okay. If they try now to say, like, we're kicking them out of the Hall of Fame, then it just restarts the news cycle.
Yeah. So I think if it continues to be hounded...
And in turns would turn Hulk Hogan into the Pete Rose of the WWE Hall of Fame, which is coincidentally Pete Rose is also in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. What was the rest of that question?
I mean, a lot of it had to do with, you know, if there was... if WWE did it more to just kind of... Well, who would have more damning video evidence of Hulk's misdeeds than the company that holds the majority of his career footage from the last 40 years?
I think WWE's goal is to not be associated with this at all.
Right.
There's, you know, there wasn't even a whisper of, like,
we will stand by our man
in his time of need.
Right, which is, because they knew this was looming, like, I don't understand why they would even bring up another relationship with Hulk Hogan knowing that this case is, you know, on the horizon.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm pretty sure WWE probably wouldn't imagine that this was on the horizon.
No, exactly. That's the thing. It's like Hogan's going to court has a pretty sizable, claim.
Right.
Against Gawker, and
it's probably a pretty good sizable advantage. Yeah. To winning that case.
Like, he looks like he's doing good. He also looks like he's not being petty about anything. He's really standing up for issues. Mm-hmm. And you really do want Hogan on WrestleMania 30, and that's right. Totally worth the risk. And I get that totally being worth the risk.
Right.
And the second this happens, it's not worth the risk anymore. No, you don't want to be called in as a character witness. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do anything. It's just the more you obviously can't disassociate WWE and Hulk Hogan. Like, it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
But any steps you can take in that direction are a good thing.
Yeah. On our Facebook and on our Twitter, I did pose a few questions. And I guess we can just go through those. Does this affect your WWE fandom in any way?
No. I was never that big on Hogan.
Well, see, that was the thing. Like, because I've heard a lot of people talk about, like, how this kind of almost shatters their childhood, because... But then again, I'm thinking back. I'm like, I was never really a fan in one sense or another while Hogan was big in the WWE. Like, I guess he was doing the whole NWO thing when I really first started liking wrestling.
Yeah.
But I was strictly a WWF guy, And then, I fell back out of it whenever he made his return. I was in high school. I thought it was too cool for wrestling. So
yeah.
I just missed that shit both times.
There's a lot of, like... There's a lot of childhood heroes turning out to be terrible people.
Yeah. Cosby's the main one that comes to mind right now.
I was going
to
say Michael Jordan comes to mind for me.
With all, like, the...
Just him being a jerk.
Well, yeah, he's a jerk. He's got, betting issues or whatever. And
I mean, that's
gambling issue is probably the proper way to say that. And he's, running the Hornets into the ground.
Yeah, sad.
And he buries them in every offseason, saying that he could beat each and every one of them one-on-one today.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that happens with a fairly alarming regularity.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of numb to. I think Mr. Rogers would really upset me. Like, Mr. Rogers
if
would
If anything were
me.
To come up, yeah.
But other than that...
Thankfully, nothing has,
I mean, other than that, I'm just kind of like, eh. I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, Hogan... He wasn't a childhood hero. He was always kind of like an old man, and sometimes old men say really racist things.
I mean, I don't want to overgeneralize, but we were both born and raised in the South, and so like stuff like that usually comes from old white men.
Yeah, so like I'm not gonna say like I expected it, but like it wasn't the most shocking thing.
Right. If not knowing anything about this, someone came up to me like, "Yeah, no, Hulk Hogan's racist." I was like, I wouldn't fight someone or verbally argue with them or anything like that. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, because I think I made that post on Twitter as well. I was like, wait, I was supposed to be surprised Hogan was racist? Like, I don't know. Like, it didn't surprise me all that much.
No.
I mean, it caught me by surprise of exactly what he said.
I think how this will affect my personal wrestling interaction the most is that I did predict a pity match for Hogan at WrestleMania 32.
Right.
And apparently that's not going to happen. So I can't get that card right either.
Who knows? This could be a giant swerve. Like, this could all be a work. Ultimate heel turn. Ever.
Heel turn Hogan goes against Patrick at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, no, you're right. I also did ask, is there a scenario where you would be able to forgive and forget with Hogan? Other than, because really the only answer I have is, with WWE, it's just going to be time.
Yeah.
This particular incident, I think, is going to take a little bit more time than what they're usually, I'm thinking... Some people are saying, he would be back within, 5 years. I'm thinking it would be closer to 10 years before they would ever even think about touching Hogan
Yeah.
at that point. Because, we live in a day and age where just just with social media and everyone having access to anything, it's so hard for people to forget stuff.
Yeah.
These days.
I mean, that's the kind of thing is, like, I don't feel, like, betrayed by Hogan.
Right.
So there's not really much for me to forgive. I mean, honestly, it's easy to liken it to Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior got recorded saying some really homophobic stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then eventually.
And it doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
No.
When he said it.
And it was like, it's the kind of thing where, like, yeah, it was easier and more fun to be like, ah, Warrior's back, instead of being like, ah, oh, the homophobe guy's back.
Right.
Like, it's just, it wasn't worth me getting upset. But I don't blame you if you got upset. Like, you're well within your rights.
And that's pretty much, you know, what the... Whenever WWE does decide to have some sort of association with Hogan, that's what they're going to be hoping everyone's attitude is. It's like, well, we remember. We're not as upset about it anymore. But if other people want to be upset, I don't care, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
They're kind of... That's like, they're wanting that just nonchalant, like, eh, okay...
Yeah.
And then there's the people who – then there's going to be that section of people that just completely forget or just don't know that are just going to go crazy whenever he comes back.
So, I mean
– yeah.
Yeah, kind of – I totally get that. It kind of sucks. Like, Hogan's last moments on, you know, on WWE television were sitting at a judge table.
I'm telling you, man. Patrick gets voted off. And everyone just loses their damn minds.
But, like, you know, Hogan brought it on himself. It's not like
I feel bad for him. It's like, yeah, he had a rough day, but he kind of brought it on himself because he's the one that said all that horrible things.
Yeah, so...
Like, we get it. Your daughter is apparently having a sexual relationship with the wrong type of black guy, apparently? So you want to just go off on the super racist rant? There's no justification behind it, really. Like, there really isn't. Like, for stuff like that, there's no way to give that reason because they didn't have reasons themselves. Or they didn't have reason in their mind.
There's just, I'm not super sorry to see him go. He wasn't doing anything. Like, there's not an unfinished story now that we have to deal with. And when he comes back, it's not going to be for, like, a feud. It'll just be... to wave and do the thing, and it'll just take up time that you could be putting over Ziggler finally, and you won't, even though it's 10 years from now.
I think at that point we're like, I don't know, instead of pushing Triple H, one of Triple H's daughter, but let's be honest, she's going to get pushed to the moon. So, yeah.
We'll do hashtag give Divas a chance all over again on our holocubes or whatever we're tweeting on in the future.
Like a gelatin block that we're just sticking our hand in and that sends our message to everyone.
Yeah.
With our social goop.
All right.
And then I did also ask, and I was directing it towards non-wrestling fans, but we didn't get a reaction on that. Who would have thought non-wrestling fans don't follow us on Facebook? I did share it on my personal account, so
okay.
I did try to reach out, but sadly nothing. But it was basically, you know, if you're not a pro wrestling fan, what does this do to your perception of WWE? I feel like it does nothing but hurt the perception, because no matter how WWE tries to distance themselves, what did you see on every headline? Ex-WWE Hall of Famer or whatever.
Yeah.
WWE's always going to be in the title next to his name.
Yeah.
So it's hard for non-wrestling fans not to associate the two.
No, it's like it's going to be an associate. Yeah, it's not good for WWE. But it also, like, yeah, how much, you know, it did not tarnish WWE's current stellar reputation.
But yeah, and also, like, you know, a lot of those headlines were WWE... fires Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So it automatically puts a, you know,
but like, you know,
a conflict there between the two.
You like, you know, talk about like, oh, WWE did this. It's not, oh, WWE, you mean the family-friendly PG television?
Right. It's like, not, oh. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, well,
everybody still knows the Attitude Era. And
so it's like, of course they're doing business with a guy like that.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, I just,
I don't know. I don't.
It's a lot of murky waters.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't have a ton to say. I think WWE did the best that they could. Of course, they have to do that, and I don't... It would be nice if they were properly offended and not doing this for business reasons. Mm-hmm. But of course they're doing it for business
reasons. Well, yeah, like, because, you know, that's... they are a publicly traded company. Like, it doesn't matter how gross or icky it feels for them to ever make a decision about money, but what else would you expect from them? Like, it's what they're going to do. Like, everything they do is for the money, which I really was tempted to say it like Vince McMahon. That's the money.
Yeah.
So basically WWE is going to do whatever they have to do to make it a smart business move.
Yeah.
I wish that, you know, smart business move was to distance themselves from Donald Trump, mm-hmm. but they don't see that necessity just yet because he's still inexplicably leading in the Republican polls.
Well, I mean, I think why would you take?
But again,
why would you have your business take sides in a political fight and like
that's never happened with WWE.
Well, they did. And how did that work out?
Not great.
Yes.
So like, that never stopped them 9 times out of 10. They had a Bill Clinton impersonator at WrestleMania.
You shouldn't. I was going with Linda McMahon.
Well, that was the idea that I kind of further
went. Okay.
They also had a Barack Obama impersonator.
Not that weird capital punishment thing.
You mean a Barack-a-Rooney?
No, make it stop.
Never.
Oh, man. Okay. Is there anything? I don't have anything else to say about Hogan. Like that's,
no, that pretty much covered it. Kind of, you know, I feel like WWE did what they needed to do from a PR and business standpoint. It's going to be a while before they ever – well, it should be a while before WWE ever opens their arms. Yes. I personally, if – just how I feel about a situation like this, I personally would never, ever, ever have him – be associated with that company ever – with a company ever again. Just – but that's my own personal thing.
No, I mean that's kind of what I would – where I would be sitting. I was like, I don't
– I would leave things where they're at now. There's no way to take him out of their championship timeline from history.
No. But I don't know how long it will be before WWE thinks we can make more money selling Hogan toys again than we will lose – by selling Hogan toys again.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it might happen, it might not.
Right. If I was forced to have some sort of, like, business relationship with him again, it would be 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
If he's, you know, still alive at that point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. I honestly, the most interesting thing here, and this is morbid to think about, but it's like, is Hogan going to get a 10-bell salute?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Depends on how far from now it is, and also depends on what he's done with his image since then.
Yeah.
From here on out, like, you know, he's got a giant microscope on him. Honestly, best thing would probably just be keep a low profile, which we know Hogan, we know how difficult that is for him to do.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is a bit of a struggle for that man.
It's one of those things, like, does Hogan even breathe if there's not a camera pointed at him recording?
Yeah.
Obviously with sex tape.
Oh, and we're back.
That's pretty much it for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to
make it like the whole Hogan podcast, even though it has been for half an hour almost.
But then again, like, how could it not be?
No, that's like, the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else in the mail sack that's...
Well, we have something that's in the mail sack that's been collecting dust. And the person who sent it to us kind of called us out on it.
Yeah.
Because we told him 2 weeks ago on the podcast that we ran out of time 2 weeks ago and we would get to it, and we never did. To our defense, we've had some pretty busy, full podcasts lately.
Yeah.
But now, since the only thing that really happened this week was Hogan. I guess we should dive into this long email that Jay sent to us, referring to a couple things that we brought up a few weeks back. One was, how do you solve a problem like Sheamus?
Okay.
And two, how would you make a convincing Kane versus Undertaker retirement match? And then he, you know, answered those questions. So bear with us. It's classy reading time right now.
Okay.
For the Sheamus problem. Right after SummerSlam, have Sheamus come out clean-shaven, head-to-toe, kill the mohawk, lose the beard, and, you know, braids and all, On his forehead looks like a bruise, suspiciously lip-looking. Have him crush a mid-carter, someone like Xavier Woods. No, fella, are you not entertained, deadpan? Then afterwards, with the same deadpan, continue the brutality. Repeat through the new day, and move up the ladder, briefcase in hand. Once the WWE title looks like it may be in jeopardy, have Sheamus finally speak, announcing his cash-in a week in advance. Then have him open the briefcase and pull out a Hawaiian shirt, put it on, and proclaim, follow the buzzards, blackout, Wyatt appears. Over the next few weeks, have more superstars appear with this mark, you know, Mark of the Beast, heels and faces alike, hell, maybe even a ref, or some backstage hands as well, turn this into a cult following that Wyatt always wanted slash needed, boom, Sheamus is a harbinger of doom, and you have 4 months of easy storyline. Sure, like, yeah, in theory.
I mean, the most important thing is no mohawk, no beard.
Yes, that's the important thing.
I do think that, like...
And the only beard he should have is, like, a Wyatt-esque beard if he starts to grow into that from then on.
Yeah. I do think...
But he would look suspiciously like Eric Rowan.
He would. You're right. You're really right. I do think that Sheamus as a quiet heavy to Bray...
Would be...
As sort of a Nash...
Or just role. A quiet heavy in general...
Yeah.
Would be... An upgrade to what we've got now.
Yeah, I think so.
What we've had in the past.
His accent is so thick and so jovial. Mm. And I know some of that's played up, but some of it's also that he has that a fairly thick accent. It's hard not to wrap the character around that.
Yeah.
And so Sheamus struggles with promos,
right?
And that's the way it is. And so if you do pair him with a guy that excels with promos, mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious if you would have him hold the title still while Bray is the leader. It seems
or
like
if part of the ritual is him handing over the briefcase to Bray.
Yeah, that's very possible. I mean that also leads to an easy breakup storyline,
mm-hmm.
but then we have Sheamus as a face again,
right?
Which I think is risky. I would love to see an attempt at Bray as a face, like
see what that was like. Yeah. Rather than kind of like half do that past year or so.
Well, that's the thing is like it's kind of the straight edge society situation where like this guy's saying, you know, be true to yourself, you know. Don't do bad things, but he's presenting himself as a messiah of a cult, and so he's a heel.
Right.
So, like, they're I don't think it's impossible to make a face turn there, but I do think I think that he's right there with, like, if Sheamus was quieter and had a mouthpiece like that might benefit him.
Right.
I mean, it's... Something I would...
It was something I would get behind.
Yeah, you know? Partially because also, like, right now, with Sheamus holding the briefcase, it's this, like, gross, uneasy feeling over the whole title scene. It's like,
right.
We're all just waiting for Sheamus to get it. And yeah. I think that would do a lot to usurp that. So, yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. All right. This one's a little bit longer, so strap in. This is the... Kane Undertaker.
How to do a good final Kane Undertaker feud.
Yep. Okay, Christmas special time. Mick Foley is this year's Santa, granting Christmas wishes and causing mayhem. Even the Undertaker drops by as a wish fulfillment. As director of operations, Kane will be backstage, observing the revels regarding his brother with respect. Santa asks Kane, is there anything you want? Kane smiles, resigns, and says, after near 20 years in the business, I've been champion, monster, friend, foe, hero, and villain. I don't think I really need anything, but thanks anyway. Back in his office, there is a pretty present wrapped in holiday paper. Kane smiles as he opens it, only to recoil at his mask looking back at him. A scrawled note says, you were brought here for a reason. Kane casts the box aside, looking haunted. The next week, Kane spots someone in the Demon Kane gear walking backstage. He follows him into his office where the demon has disappeared. Instead, there is a picture of Kane standing with Paul Bearer, waiting for him on his desk. Written across it says, fulfill your father's wishes. As he looks in the mirror, the demon Kane walks away. Building to the rumble, Kane is continually isolated, haunted by the voice of Paul Bearer, and also his own demonic voice, seemingly coming from the mask, now hanging from a mirror in his office. He argues that that is all behind him, but he finally snaps, donning the mask, calling out the Undertaker. Taker is obviously confused by this seeming departure from the last time he met, but Kane's rage will not be denied. The demands lead to attacks, which culminate in Taker accepting Kane's challenge in a buried alive match at WrestleMania. Every time Kane doubts his resolve, the voices reassure him. In the end, Kane is finally victorious over Taker at WrestleMania 32, bearing with it all his rage. The following Raw, Kane is now back as director of operations, addressing the crowd as on some benign administrative manner when Bray Wyatt interrupts. "Did you get my gift?" he asks with a grin. "It took a lot of work to get you to believe, but seeing is believing, right?" Kane's music hits, and the Demon Kane walks out on the stage next to Wyatt, takes off the mask, and it's Eric Rowan. Wyatt cackles at the bear-esque "Oh, yes." Kane in the ring is now beside himself, realizing he's been manipulated and bearing the last of his kin.
So all of this is really a way to get Bray Wyatt over.
True.
The true goal here.
True. And these would be interesting ways of doing that.
They would be.
Especially with this, because one of the biggest issues we've had with, you know, a lot of these Undertaker WrestleMania builds is afterwards, what do you do with the person who just had a match with Undertaker?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar was easy. He was going to take some time off. The rest of like everybody else, what do you do?
Well, CM Punk took some time off. Triple H took some time off both times. Shawn Michaels took all of the time off before that. And then he took some time off
and
after his first match.
And Bray awkwardly took some time off.
Yeah.
You know, before... I think he kind of did a little something before Money in the Bank.
I mean, that's kind of what it is you take time off.
Yeah. But this, you know, you would have Bray Wyatt, who wasn't directly involved in this, but you would have Kane, assuming you would want him to do something beyond Undertaker.
Yeah.
You would have a Kane and another Kane and Bray Wyatt feud, I guess, since they've done that in the past.
I would like if they do have another Kane and Undertaker feud.
Mm.
I would like there to be elements of the supernatural in there.
Right.
We're kind of gone and done with that era of wrestling.
Undertaker did use lightning to set Bray Wyatt's rocking chair on fire.
Yes.
Even though he technically wasn't even there.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the last guy that can do that against the other last guy that could do that.
Right.
I would like there to be a little bit of paranormal beyond the grave stuff happening. I don't want... I mean, the thing, Undertaker is in a, you know, man versus man fight right now. And that's cool and that's great and I'm really excited and they did a really good build-up.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to have that with Kane.
No, it wouldn't be fitting.
No. I think with Kane it should be.
Given their history and everything, like something like you're describing would probably be a lot more fitting.
Yeah, my only problem is I don't want babyface Kane to not babyface the good guy status, babyface the not wearing a mask status Kane to fight Undertaker.
No.
I mean, it's cheesy and it's corny, but I kind of feel like if Kane is going to do it, he's going to embrace his inner demon, and embracing his inner demon is putting the mask on. So I would want to make some changes there where he's looking at the mask and he finally...
Well, I think that's kind of what he does.
Grabs the mask, puts it on. Well, I assumed that Eric Rowan
held
the mask the whole time.
Well, yeah, but I think, like, finally Kane dons the mask and goes... full Kane on, and then the next night, you know, he's back director of operations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, he was addressing some manner that has nothing to do with it, and then Bray interrupts, and they pull the reveal.
There would be a killer video package for that match.
That would be an incredible video
package. I want to see that mostly for the video package.
Right.
That will win video package of the year next year, you guys.
Because I haven't even been thinking about that. I don't even know what would be the video package of this year.
I don't know yet. I gotta go back and kind of...
Well, yeah. Just rewatch, like, that, just that from the pay-per-view. Not the full pay-per-view, but just the video package.
Yeah.
Because that's when they tend to use their best stuff.
Yeah.
It'll probably end up something with Brock and Taker right now, because like you pointed out last week, like the part that sold it on me was, you know, Brock Lesnar was like, I'm gonna kill you, and Undertaker was like, you're gonna have to. I'm like,
I'm so in.
Watching the video package of that this past Raw got me like all amped about it.
Yeah.
So there you go, Jay. We addressed it, we talked about it. Pretty good booking, I would say. I would say that was pretty incredible booking. If they were ever to do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, because WWE doesn't want to put that much thought into planning out things, but there you go.
But no, I do like it, and it hits on a lot of the things that I would want. I would want a supernatural final feud for that. And I think with the Sheamus thing.
Right.
I don't want to say, like, put him in a tag team, because that doesn't work.
Right.
But I do think putting him with a thing.
Yeah.
Like making Sheamus part of something greater is...
Some sort of faction.
Is really the only possible saving
grace. See, that's why I was okay whenever everyone was talking about him coming back last year. Everyone was talking about, Batista's going to be leaving, so they're going to use Sheamus to replace him in Evolution. I was like, that would be a decent place for him.
Yeah.
Being part of some faction where he doesn't necessarily have to carry, or, you know, at least verbally carry, you know, anything.
He looks intimidating. He can go in and out of the ring. He can protect somebody.
Yep.
He can take the brunt. And that's the thing, is like, you have Sheamus protecting Bray Wyatt in this example.
Yeah.
And Sheamus looks like he gets beat half to death because of the way that, you know, welts show up on his skin. So it looks great. I think that would be, I actually would really kind of get behind that.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else in the mail sack?
No, that's everything in the mail sack.
All right. A few quick points to hit on before we wrap up. SummerSlam.
Yes.
Has been announced to be a 4-hour show.
They're really pushing this whole second WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which I feel like this can only benefit the mid-card.
I hope so. Because
you think about it, like, yeah, we have a main event of 2 part-timers.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know? It's not WrestleMania where you have a lot more part-timers.
Right.
So they're going to have to fill the card with guys that are actually in WWE the entire year.
Yeah.
So, well, I feel like that would...
Part of it is like, not to... Here's the thing. Not to be forever cynical about it, but you better have 2 Divas matches if you're going to have a 4-hour card.
Yeah. Or 3, dear Lord.
I mean, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, you can have, like, yeah.
2 or more.
Yeah, 2 or more, yeah.
They're not going to have 3. I'm like, well, you've ruined it now. You flew too close to the sun on that one.
Right. I guess we should also talk about the main event from Raw.
Yes, main event. John Cena got his nose busted.
He got his nose moved to the other side of his face.
Yeah.
Like Wade Barrett style.
Yeah.
Completely by accident, obviously. but thankfully, like, John Cena kind of helped solve the intensity of it.
Yeah.
First of all, I feel like not enough people are talking about that superplex that floated into a standing suplex that Seth Rollins performed after, you know, he busted Cena's nose.
Right.
That got me out of my seat at home watching that. Like, that was the... I consider... Okay. Every time John Cena's involved in a great match, we would give John Cena some credit. Mm-hmm. This time, I'm giving all the credit to Seth Rollins.
Yeah, okay.
Because Seth Rollins, I don't know, like, he was on another level.
Yeah.
On the main event of Raw. And, of course, that meant Seth Rollins would lose and tap out.
Okay, so here's the thing. A lot of people are complaining. I've seen a lot of complaints about, like, oh, they've
right.
They're burying the WWE Championship title. Mm. The only
silver lining I can find in all that is the fact that John Cena actually did, like, shore up the STF. Like, he did, like, hook the arm around.
They're not putting the U.S. title over the WWE. They're putting John Cena over Seth Rollins. And I'm not that surprised that they're doing that. Like,
no, like, because that was pretty much what I'm thinking. I was like, either some sort of BS running, or John Cena's just gonna win clean, and look, that's exactly what happened.
They've never, like, Seth Rollins has never been a, you know, fight them where they are,
right,
and win them clean kind of champion.
You built him as that weaselly champion that just finds a way out of things. So when you put him one on one against Cena, what do you think is gonna happen?
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing is, like, he's – now he has this easy, like, you know, sure, I tapped out. I broke Cena's nose. I set out what I, you know,
right.
did what I set out to do. There's no reason for me to be in the match anymore.
Right.
There's plenty of ways you can spin it. You know, I'm not going to risk getting hurt in a submission move.
Right.
For a title that I don't even care about because I'm the WWE champion. I don't think that's a burial of Seth Rollins or a burial no. of the WWE championship.
There's ways to kind of book out of it.
Cena has his last two big matches have ended in a submission move.
Yep.
Pretty quickly too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had it locked. What was it with Seth? He had it locked in. Seth was inching, and then he pulled him back, and then as soon as he pulled him back, Seth tapped.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. I think we've discussed submission moves on the podcast, you know, right. pretty ad nauseum. But, you know, just real quick, it's a submission move should not be a shameful way to lose a match.
It shouldn't be, no.
Like, if a pin is booked right, a pin is not a shameful way to lose a match. You did good, you gave it
especially
your all.
Especially, like, in the, you know, they don't really do it as much anymore, but, like, you know, back in the day, they would have the guy, like, they would have the loser, like, act like he's kicking out at, like, 3.5 or 4, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they would just immediately, as soon as the ref would count for 3, the guy would kick out. Mm. Just to, you know, kind of not completely bury themselves.
Yeah.
You don't really see that anymore.
But that's the thing, is, like, you know, you did good, you went out, yeah. you throw the house down. You can come off of a pinfall looking strong.
Right.
You should be able to come out of a submission loss looking strong as well.
Right.
A submission loss should be just the guy outmaneuvered you a little bit, did mm-hmm. a little, you know, and got you in a position where you have to tap. But it's not. Submitting is weak now.
Right. And see, there's obviously there's ways to fix that.
Yeah.
The one that comes to mind right now would be WrestleMania 28 in Miami, CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. Jericho tapped out to the Anaconda Vice.
Yeah.
But that's after, like, previously when Punk had that same move, I think Chris Jericho, like, was able to knee him in the head or something like that.
Yeah.
And even when he finally got the winning,
well,
he still, like, fought around for it. And when the moment where it was, like, he, you know, it was obvious that he just – he's explored all options. He can't get out of it. He has no choice but to.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something as simple as a lot of attempts at a
right.
submission. And, like, Cena actually has a pretty good thing where, like, if he's trying to tighten up the STF and he finally gets it tightened up and locked in.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, now it hurts and I can't have to tap. Like,
see, that would kind of explain why Rollins tapped so quickly,
and
because he actually tightened it up.
That's the thing, is, like, you still get the struggle and will he make it and will he power out kind of thing.
Right.
But then as soon as somebody locks it in, and that can be any submission, but as soon
right.
as it's locked in, that's when the tap
that's
has
it,
to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's – and so it's
– but that would take, like, weeks.
No, yeah, that's the thing, is,
of,
like
– of building up to it,
yeah.
building that move.
And who's going to get buried in the process, because – and that's part of the thing, is, like, I mean, I – if they want to do that, great. Cena's not a bad person to kind of start mm-hmm. with. But I'm worried about – I'm not so worried about Seth Rollins. He's still champion.
Oh, yeah. I mean
– but I'm worried about Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Like,
you're right. And what we're saying, it goes back to what Paul Heyman was saying on the Stone Cold podcast. Like, he's – you take everybody and you can put over Mark Henry using a headlock.
Yeah.
You know, just building it, having, like, the moment you put them in there, they automatic – like, you know, undercard guys automatically tap. Building it for, like, a year or whatever where someone finally breaks out of it and beats him.
Yeah.
It goes over huge. So, you know, that's how – but see, they're not going to do that with every main event or semi-main event wrestler that has a submission move.
Right. So.
They should, but
they're not going to. I'm not going to be worried about 2 STFs in a row. We get, like, 3 or 4 over these next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start to be a little worried and stressed and upset.
Yeah.
But,
I agree. Either way, though, Seth Rollins looked like $1 million.
No, he did. He did, absolutely. I I want more from Seth Rollins. Like, yeah. not in that he has not given me enough, because he's done great. Right. Just I'm greedy, and I'd like more, please.
Absolutely. Same reason why, you know, we all like Neville so much, because he's giving us so much. We're like, I want more of that.
Yeah.
But at the same point, you're like, all right, give the guy a break.
Yeah, exactly. All right, anything else from you?
That's it for me.
All right.
The one other dumb thing that happened this week that wasn't Hogan-related was the Hogan's replacement on Tough Enough, Miz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the way the Tough Enough decided to end this
week. Yeah, so if you haven't watched Tough Enough, it came down to Mata, probably one of the most improved guys.
Yeah.
Other than, what's his name, Josh?
Yeah.
One of the most improved guys ever. He's been obviously working hard, and he's impressed a lot of people. You have ZZ, who's inexplicably still there. Then you have Amanda, who's done a whole lot of nothing except being sidekick. For those of you who don't know who Amanda is, look in every girl versus girl argument. She's the one in the background just agreeing with somebody. Yeah. Miz was the first judge to use a judge's save for people in the bottom three. Use it on Amanda because, I quote, she's hot. End of defense.
Yeah.
He, of course, went on, like, on Top Talk and kind of further explained himself, but that's pretty much what the gist of it was. They revealed what the vote would be. Mata ended up leaving. Had Amanda not gotten saved, she only got 13% of the votes.
Yeah.
Okay. And Paige was justifiably enraged more than I had ever seen her. Like, if she had that kind of intensity in the ring, no one could touch her. Ever.
You know what? Like, at this point, we're just going through the motions for Zeke to win.
Yeah.
Like, we just are.
I was telling Joel before we started the podcast, the only way at this point to get ZZ off the show is for the next time that ZZ is going to be in the bottom three, which is going to be next week, because he's in the – I think he's been in the bottom three, like, every week or pretty close to it. The only way to get him off the show is if the other two judges, Daniel Bryan and Paige, uses their save for everyone in the bottom three not named ZZ.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get rid of him, which they might end up having to do.
I mean, and that's the kind of thing. It's like, I mean, no, ZZ's going to win. ZZ's going to win. And
right.
He'll go into developmental. I'm not sure they'll ever do anything with him.
And thankfully, like, because the other person...
Following the grand tradition of Tough Enough winners.
And thankfully, the other person that's in that same position is Sarah Lee. She's also got a huge fan support. Like, everyone loves her. But at least she's shown improvement. Like, at least she is actually putting the work. ZZ, as we've learned, is just going right in this wave of popularity and not really...
Part of it, you know what? Like, part of it, I think, is... The cameras and the editing decisions.
Right.
ZZ has to have, I mean, some strength. He wrestled alligators.
Sure.
And so, like, he's not worthless. And
No.
I'm hoping, like, some of the later episodes, once they, like, they put ZZ against Patrick, the fan favorite, and he went home. They put ZZ against the other, the most improved, and he went home. And so I was like, well, I guess it's going to be ZZ now, and so let's go ahead and start making him look good.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be the next superstar.
So. Yeah, and now I'm rooting for Josh. I kind of like that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, other than Mata, he's one of the guys that's improved a lot.
He's shown a lot of improvement.
Yeah, and he's showing a lot of heart now, so.
So, yeah, I mean.
I'm still behind Sarah. And I'm glad she's approving for me to justify that. Because used to, I couldn't justify. Just like, I like her.
She's hot.
I'm also, defense. I also would not have used a save for her whenever she was in the bottom three. So, well,
we voted for her, but I wouldn't have saved her.
Yeah, but I'm also not a judge.
Yeah. So, I mean,
And I love that, the whole thing. Like, you know, Miz's main, like, thing was when Paige was yelling at him, was like, well, why didn't you save Mata? It's just like, I would have if I knew you were going to be an idiot and save Amanda.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the saves have been used.
Sure, because, I mean, like, you know, at the rate they were going, you know, the judges have pretty much been burying the roster.
Yeah.
Well, but that's... Since the beginning, and they just refused to use their saves.
So the thing is, at this point, we are going through the motions. We have winners. We're just kind of going through the motions to get there.
Also, the judges need to stop putting people in the bottom three to make a point.
Yeah.
You put the bottom three, whoever is the bottom three.
Yeah.
And you just leave it at that.
So, that's how we lose the good people.
That's how we lose the good people.
So, all right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe there. You could write a review. That'd be really helpful. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
All that kind of stuff helps out the podcast with iTunes metrics and those kind of things.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Facebook?
Yep.
Yeah, you're also on Facebook. So look us up on Facebook. You can follow us, follow Chris, follow myself. Just kind of see what else is going on in our world.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.